Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, Rand Partners Edition.
What's up, everyone? This is Dylan Marma bringing to you the Rand CRE Show, joined by our co-host today, Mike Taravella. How you doing today, Mike?
You know, just good. Living the dream, making it happen right before Thanksgiving. So excited to be on.
Making it happen right before Thanksgiving. By the time you're listening to this, we're going to be literally right before Thanksgiving, the day before Thanksgiving. So hopefully everyone's got some great plans for their turkey day and everyone's going to get some time to do what's important for Thanksgiving, which I think is spending time with family and just being grateful for all the things we have, the people we have in our life, right? So always a good chance to reflect. And really, Thanksgiving signals in real estate a lot of the slowdown, the seasonal holiday slowdown, right? We're already starting to see Christmas trees going up, lights going up. And what does that mean? It means less deal flow on the real estate front. Typically, this is the time where a lot of people start to kick their feet up, starting to make travel plans and so on. I know we felt it pretty heavily last year, and I anticipate that we're likely to feel it again. But yeah, that's just the nature of the game. I always say this is the season we have a lot more time to read.
And along with that time to read, I think we also have time to invest in our processes, procedures, really review what we could improve on as a company, as sponsors, and really dive into marketing. And today we're going to be discussing project management.
Project management. What an exciting word.
A sexy topic besides accounting.
Sexy topic, but in reality, this is something that does get us juiced up. I think this is something we put a lot of time and attention into, and we always consider building the machine, right? That's the term you've all heard us use before. We're building the machine. We're finding ways to automate processes, get things dialed in, because essentially our goal as business owners is to get to the point in which we create a system so intricate that we could literally stop running the day-to-day business and plug people in to operate in the different functions, because it's so spelled out down to a T. You have the roadmap in place for anyone to plug and play in the business and grow and scale the business. Because like a lot of big time entrepreneurs, investors will say, you want to build a business that is scalable and sellable, right? If you're scalable and sellable, that means that someone else could jump in and lead the business. Someone else could step in and grow the business. And you have it set up in a way in which it's not relying solely on the people, it's relying on the processes.
Yeah, and I think Robert Kiyosaki said it best of if you're working as an entrepreneur and you're working consistently day by day, you're doing everything. So are you really an entrepreneur? And a true entrepreneur is one who builds the businesses, builds those procedures, and is working on the business, not in the business.
Couldn't have said it better. Can't beat the Kiyosaki. So let's talk about what we use for our project management. One thing, a quote that I've heard that truly stood out to me and resonated is that we can oftentimes get attached and fall in love with specific pieces of technology, right? We finally get Google Sheets working well for us, and we're so resistant to switching because as soon as we have a new piece of technology for us, oftentimes we feel like this is how it's got to be forever, right? Now, we embrace it all the time. It's one of our core values here is the growth mindset and the willingness to always be changing, even though it does require sometimes an extra additional effort to change. One of these recent changes that we've made over the past few months, which has ended up being a change that has been completely worthwhile, is switching to Asana. That is not a sauna, but Asana is a project management software, ASANA.com. And Asana is basically a one-stop shop for all of your to-do lists, all of your if you've used Trello before, it's creating boards and timelines, being able to choose who is the owner of different priorities. Remember, if not one person is accountable, then no one's accountable. You always want to assign one person to own each individual priority. I sound like I'm on some kind of a sales pitch for them. We're not getting paid to host this or plug them anyway, but it's been a great a game changer in terms of new technology for project management.
Yeah, it's just a powerful tool that just houses all of us, and it really made us take a step back and really think, what do we do every week? What do we do every month? And really lays out every step of the way and allows you to create checklists to allow you to make sure you're doing it. And within each task, it allows you to create subtasks. So for many, you can list all the properties you have to do this for. If you have, you're allowed to, you can link Loom meeting or Loom recordings, which allows you to show exactly how the project is getting done. So like Dylan said, you can hand this task off to anyone and allow you to plug and play and make sure the job is getting done at that task. So you're not having as much of a learning curve, and it allows everyone to see comments on tasks, allows you to just get a bird's eye view and really even granular view on the projects that are at hand.
Completely. And that's enough of the sales pitch that we're not getting paid for. We will get paid if Asana offers it, but basically why we bring that up is because that's what we're using. But nonetheless, what we're going to share today is the actual content of what goes into the project management software, which is really the most important piece. We could really care less if you're using Google Sheets, if you're using Excel, if you're old school and you still write it out by hand or
scribe it.
We're
not going to mention any team members.
but regardless of how you do it, these are some of the functions that you should be paying attention to. Now, granted, everyone's probably at a different level. Some people could be ahead of us in their business. Some people could be behind us in their business. If you're just getting started, you're probably spending all your time and effort in acquisition mode, right? It was, yeah, I think I almost took it for granted before we did our first deal, how much free time I had to look at deals. I was like, wow, you know, this is really the only way to do is underwrite deals, right? And it was an on-step process. But as you start to grow and develop and become, you know, more mature in the business, you start to have a lot more systems and busy work that keeps you, you know, it could take away from your time looking at new deals. So you have to really pay attention to this stuff and make sure you're not dropping the ball, because you want to create a good investor experience. You want to create good returns. You want to make sure you have a pulse in asset management and so on. So a lot of these will be dealing with more of the asset management, business management type stuff that will become more and more important as you continue to grow and scale in your business. So first, we're going to break it down into the positions that take place. For us, it broke down into having, you have investor relations, you have acquisitions, you have asset management, then we have business management, we'll get to the difference, and then you have marketing. So Mike, do you want to start us off with investor relations and acquisitions, talking on some of those functions?
Absolutely. So in investor relations, we like to be very active and prepare the newsletter, prepare communications. So we just make sure that it's getting checked off and have reminders of when it's going to be. So I can prepare it and Dylan can review it. And at any given point, we can check the box of when it got completed.
So you have one day for preparing the newsletter, one day for sending out the newsletter. And then in addition on here, we also track how many investors per week are we getting and something, because I hold the accountability there, even though, like Mike mentioned, it's a team effort. That's a function I hold accountability for. So at the end of each week on Friday, I get a reminder and I actually will update. This is how many opt-ins we have. This is how many phone calls that I was able to jump on this week. So we always have an idea on the type of activity we're seeing. And really a lot of that's a function of how much marketing we're doing and so on.
Yeah. And to back up on that, we identified the key process, the key performance indicators is how many investors we're talking to and how many deals we're underwriting and getting in front of. So it leads into our second one of acquisitions, which I'm the parent when it comes to reporting that, in which we lay out all, we have boards showing, who's prepared the underwriting? Who's reviewing it? Did we submit an LOI? It allows you at a bird's eye view to see what deals are out there, the details behind it, and just and links to our Dropbox so we can quickly, at any given moment when a broker calls, we can see this product and see the property. And we're not saying, oh, hold on, broker, well, let me load up my computer. We can quickly access the information. And like Dylan said, on every Friday, I get an email to report on the matter on how many deals we've underwritten, how many deals we saw, how many brokers we talked to, so that we can make sure we're on top of that piece.
Completely. Well said. So that's investor relations, that's acquisitions. Those are arguably the two most important things. What we can call those the revenue generators, right? Those are the income producing activities oftentimes for you as a sponsor. However, it's important to be equally as strong in the next areas that we're going to talk about if you want to be in business long term. Number one, we're going to talk about from there is asset management. So Mike here wears the hat of asset manager. So Mike, do you want to just talk to us about on a monthly basis, some of the functions that go into the asset management?
Absolutely. So first off, we make sure our accounting team has properly got the numbers in And when I mean properly, it's not checking if it's a right or wrong, but it's making sure that key numbers are in there, whether accruals, CapEx, a lot of different moving pieces with draws. So making sure that those are properly getting accounted for. Once we go from there, we reach out to our community managers to make sure the numbers, we review our budgets to actuals and make sure, hey, community manager, what happened this month? We want to understand what happened at the granular level. So when we're preparing our week, our monthly webinars or monthly reporting, that we can give investors a bird's eye or a granular view and really see what's going on at the level and how that equates into the income statement. Because in the end, we have to drive net operating income to improve the value of the property. So just making sure that we have a two-way street of we're looking at the numbers and we're understanding the story at the ground level, because those are key pieces. Other than that, we mentioned the transfers from our management account, CapEx account, and draw account. So those are the big pieces, and we get together with our teams.
I'll hit on those because those sort of segue us into the next section, which is business management. But first, some of the asset management functions, as Mike mentioned, a lot of it is communications with accounting. It's a lot of checks and balances that we play with it, with the accounting team, as well as preparing monthly investor documents and so on. So the reason that we say that some of this fits under asset management is because investor relations is more of our front end, kind of the before the deal, ongoing, marketing communications, whereas we actually bucket the asset management part of the role is actually the investor communications, the investor relations for things that are taking place with the current portfolio. So that's the reason if there's any confusion there. That's just how we chose to do it. There's no right or wrong way, whatever makes the most sense for you. But some of those functions there towards the end of each month, at the last day of every month, typically we're using a checking account. Our OPEX account is typically where a lot of the CAPEX expenditures are coming from. So we'll calculate the total CAPEX expenditures for that month, and then we'll request a transfer from our CAPEX account, which is separate to the operating account, to actually reimburse the operating account right before the end of the month. That's going to help us determine our draw amount. There's another podcast we did on this a couple months back on cash management system, and that's just it's a long rabbit hole to get into, but that's one of the functions. Then from there, we have, as far as confirming all the funds are transferred, so we'll typically have an ongoing list of different transfers that we need from different entity accounts or different property accounts that we'll have going on ongoing for accounting. We'll make sure that at the end of the month, we just cleared up on everything that we need, so we're most up to date as possible. And then with business management is more so on the entity level that after you're managing your specific deal, you typically have a holding company, right? And that's how we look at it. We're, in this case, we have outside of the initial properties, you have the sponsorship group, which is RAND Partners. And on there, we're always looking at our income and our expenses. That could be any overhead with the office expenses, any overhead with payroll, any overhead with upcoming marketing expenses, things like that. We can have income coming in from any kind of fee income, property promote income, things like that, that we see on a reoccurring monthly basis. So we'll have income going in there, expenses going in there. We even manage that ourselves on QuickBooks account just so that we can always make sure that we're paying attention to the business. And I think that's the next level of progression. I think the first level of progression is I just want to do a deal and get to doing a deal. But I think the next level of progression is after you've done a few deals, you have to really start to look at the entity. Hopefully you're working with some of the same partners again and again. And I think for us, we find a lot of value in that because we're able to really all share the expenses and the reinvestments we make to help grow and scale the business accordingly. So your business management functions, there's not as many, but I think it's important to start to think about those and bring those into play as you start to form your team. And then lastly, we have marketing. I think when you're in the world of syndication, and especially when you're in the world of outward facing investors, oftentimes marketing can be very, very important. As we mentioned, the two outwardly facing folks that we're typically trying to get in front of are both investors and also brokers. For brokers, I really think just calling and showing up and walking deals and things to that effect is really oftentimes how you can find the best deals. I don't think that having intricate marketing has made a world of difference in that space, but I think just from for us, we have a whole family of companies where a lot of our businesses are outward facing. And for us, we always want to appear active and present and professional. And I think for us, it's a, you know, passion of ours too, to be able to give back and help out. And I think it inspires, you know, loyalty with the folks that follow us. So it plays a pretty large component. Mike, do you want to talk on marketing and some of the month-to-month functions we go over?
Yeah, absolutely. So we really are a big component of deep work. So we really break it down into 2 days a month that we're really going all in on our marketing efforts. Instead of breaking up into several one-hour meetings throughout the week, there's too much pickup and put down time for all the different activities we got going on. So we block out 2 days where we're working with our team to get infographics out there. We're working on podcasts, we're working on shooting quick hit videos, and we're really just diving deep and allowing our creativity to go out so that we can help provide value and efforts. And then from there, we have a team in which they help edit the videos and make them look super polished for our audience. So it's working with VAs to help understand, you know, get feedback from them, get feedback from us to make sure that it's a two-way street and make sure they feel valuable in our efforts. Because the last thing we want to do is put something out there that doesn't look to the RAND partners or RAND CRE way. So it's just really working on that. And from there too, it's just making sure. And one point I wanted to hit is, like Dylan said, when you're dealing with investors and acquisitions, it's all a tiered system. So when you're first starting off, you got to get the find the money, then you got to find the deal. And then eventually you get into the more of the back office when you have bigger teams where you're building out the asset management, the business management, and the marketing. So this could be overwhelming when you're first starting, but chunk it down into doing one thing right before advancing to the next thing. There's a lot of times where we've done reiterations and tried to do all at once, and we found that to be successful. But so we've been slowly building upon each of these processes to be as smooth as possible, and so that we can hand it off to the next person.
Totally agree. And some of the items we just hit on are just about some of our monthly rhythms. We have, if we look, there's probably about 20 different monthly rhythms, which are actual tasks that need to be performed on a monthly basis. And a lot of those also have subtasks. So if you include the subtasks, there's probably 40, somewhere between 40 and 50 different total things that have to take place every single month. So this helps us just keep organized, keep track of which days to execute on the different tasks, what's coming up, what we need to prepare for, how we do our schedules and things to that effect. As Mike mentioned with marketing, we found instead of just doing a little bit every day, if we actually block off 2 full days at a time, we can get a ton of stuff done and then have it go throughout the month. Usually sending out anywhere between 4 to 5 posts per week. And that's at RAND CRE on Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn, and so on. And as far as other rhythms go, that those are our monthly rhythms. We also have deal flow, which is basically the deals that we have coming in. We have that more of a board format instead of a list format. We have it so that you can see the process that each deal is in. You'll see anywhere between deals received. Mike's reviewing it. I'm reviewing it. We're reviewing it as a team. We're putting in an LOI. We're waiting a call for offer. We're closed lost, or we were under contract. So we'll be able to sort through there. We'll have all of the docs, our Dropbox files actually integrated right into each of the deal functions, which allows us to make it nice and easy to be able to pull those up. We also have the same thing with investor opt-ins, so we don't lose track of those. We'll see who has opted in recently, who do we send an email to, who have we scheduled a call with, who have we completed a call with, who didn't answer, did we get a voicemail or something like that. That way we can keep a pulse on that. We don't let anyone get, kind of fall through the cracks in that sense. If they reach out, we want to make sure we have a chance to speak with them. And then we have quarterly rhythms. So at the end of each quarter, you have a couple functions, largely stuff that plays a role, or investor relations, asset management, a couple business management, a couple marketing. Not as many as the monthly, but there are some really, really important things that take place. A lot of them revolving around distributions and reporting, because that's typically the big thing that takes place at the end of every quarter, is you have to send out a whole lot of checks.
Plus, we do quarterly webinars regarding all of our deals. So we want to make sure we're locked in and make sure that everything's presented clean and easy to read. So that's just one big thing that's different than the monthly rhythms.
Yep. No, that's a great point. And there can be all kinds of things too. We want to make sure everyone's updated their address and their information in the portal, making sure we're sending it all out to the correct people. And then we're getting all the right, the right documents behind it to show everyone how we got to that amount. So very good point. And then lastly, we have company goals, and we'll have our three key objectives followed with some daily targets and some ongoing list of business development stuff. So anything that doesn't really fit in, something that is a reoccurring task on a monthly or quarterly basis, falls under our company goals tab. And there we're going to have, you know, everything from daily targets to just ongoing lists. So whenever we have one of those ideas in the middle of the night, wake up, pop it there in business development, and you can sleep soundly.
That's why we have a sound on our phones. Me and Dylan have been staying up late playing with it and just getting all clean of all the stuff we have to do to wrap up the year and start off 2020 guns blazing.
Yep, that's a great point. And you mentioned the VAs too. VAs have been helpful. We've actually have our VAs plugging in with Asana as well for the marketing stuff and keeping more of a board format where we can see rough draft of the stuff we've sent to them, the timeline that we expect to be complete by, what's been drafted from them, what are we in review on, and then what's completed, what's been posted, what has been posted, and so on. So there's just a ton of cool stuff you can do. And I think that doing these things, at least for me, it absolutely gives you clarity and reduces that stress of every day. What am I going to do today? Right. Oh, what am I forgetting? Is there anything I forgot to do this month? Right. It just eliminates the error, gives systems for accountability, makes it crystal clear who's owning the different outcomes for each and every one of the functions. And I think just allows you to spend your time and effort just being more free, you know, looking at new deals, creating new opportunities, being creative, and essentially takes all the guesswork out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say the biggest thing as I evolved in my career is I could remember everything. And then I realized you're spending so much time and energy trying to remember everything in your head when you can just put it into one place, see what it has to do, and it tells you exactly what you need to do that day to make sure you're getting it done. You remember everything. There's going to be stuff that pops up and you can't remember, but if you have it in your system, whether it's Asana, Trello, Google Sheets, Excel, as long as you have it there and it keeps you accountable and you're moving forward with it, it's just whatever you do to put the system in place.
Yeah, I don't want to remember everything. I want the system to have everything, right? If you're driving to work, you don't want to be thinking, holding on to every single idea. I hope I have to do this today and this today and this today, right? You want to be able to free yourself from that and have it all, you know, automated. So that's more on a mental note of just, I think it brings a lot more sanity to your life when you feel you don't have to remember everything. You have a system that can back you up along the way. Now we want to get into our expert tip of the day. And since we're talking about project management and business management as a whole, our expert tip is going to deal with this. We just gave you our take on business softwares. There's a ton of cool and neat softwares, technology systems coming out. Those could be investor portals. They could be CRMs. They could be project management tools like we talked about. It could be social media platforms, any of the above. They're coming out. It feels like every month there's something new to pay attention to. Number one, you want to vet those items and see if you actually need it and is it truly an improvement. I always like to go on a trial period before you go and delete one of your tasks or one of your software items. Make sure that you give this one a try for a few weeks and make sure you like it. And it's really, you're seeing the benefits before you go and delete all of your stuff off the existing software. But number two, what we really want to talk about is building a space to create a technology onboarding timeline. Mike, do you want to share with us what is a technology onboarding timeline?
Yeah. So we like to give ourselves 90 days to not only get to know the product, understand the technology, but really buy into the process, buy into it. Any technology is going to be garbage in, garbage out. And the last thing all of our team members want is, I have to learn a whole new system, a whole new process. But for us, we keep an open mind, a growth mindset, because we know that this technology could do amazing things once we get to know it and understand it. And there could be functions by day 60 that we didn't even know about day 30, or there could be the pro version could do XYZ that allows us to save us, you know, several hours a day that equates to a ton of time. That could be another deal you find, that could be two more investors you talk to. So really give yourself just accountability to onboard, to understand, and just lay out the process and best practices, and just over communicate the best ways to understand that technology.
Love it. All right, folks, well, there you have it. Another edition of the RAND CRE show. We appreciate everyone joining us for the show. If you're interested in getting on the phone and connecting with us, if you want to register to invest with us, just make sure you reach out to us directly. That's at randpartnersllc.com. And you can also visit our new site, randcre.com. That's randcre.com. You can email me at Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, at randcre.com, or
Mike T at randcre.com. And thank you guys so much. And make sure you're following us on our new social medias at RANCRE, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and RAN Commercial Real Estate on LinkedIn. And please leave a like, subscribe, rating on the podcast. It really helps us provide even more value going forward. So thank you guys so much. And until next time, we'll see you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.